Hello, and welcome to the first edition of the 2010 DK and Comet Show. I'm your host, DK.
Very nice.
You didn't practice enough.
No, I didn't. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Okay, take two.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new season of the DK and Comet Show.
Hello, and welcome to the first edition of the 2010 DK and Comet Show. I'm your host, Comet.
And I'm DK.
And we have a few guests here with us today. As always, we have Hugo Carathorn.
Hey there, what's up?
We have Jim Barrett.
Morning, gentlemen.
And we have Mike Gadeski. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's whatever.
Probably know him as MG or the crazy guy. One or the other.
Regular MG.
The guy that always says one or yes.
Anyway, we're just here to give a general introduction to this year's summer contest. As always, it is an annual tradition here at the Elite. And we are going to try to make this show a regular thing once again. Anyone who was around last year has surely listened to at least one episode. And hopefully we're going to have a good time with it again this year. I know we had a great time last year, and for everyone who participated, definitely loved it. The whole seeding this year, we kept it the same format as last year, just nominating people. And I'm not sure exactly how the particular divisions were considered, but does anyone happen to know?
I thought it was just the most, like the top eight were each given one seeds, but say for me, for example, I got the eighth most votes, therefore the last one seed. And
then maybe a reverse order for the twos or something?
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean Matthias got the lowest amount of votes, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of wish, you know, Endgamer was here to explain that whole thing, but...
Yeah, we already miss him.
Yes, he's a very integral part.
We can't do this anyway. Without him!
Come back, we miss you, we need you.
Anyway, I also would like to put some emphasis on everyone to vote this year in every single match, because that is a big deal. I'm under the assumption that Endgamer is going to use the same system as last year, so you will contact him for voter information and vote right off of the Endgamer.com. And also remember to send your picture to WIF, because otherwise you'll get... Well, let's just say a picture you will not like. And also, if you don't have a bio up on the Speedrun Wiki, you should definitely go ahead and write yourself a nice bio.
Otherwise, DK will do it, and it'll be hilarious.
If you need some reference, just go ahead and look at Elu's bio. And
Elu or Wouters?
And if you're really desperate, you can always ask Corey to do it for you.
Oh, God.
Okay, so anyone else have anything to say before we look at the bracket?
I'd like to say some very qualified people missed out on the tournament this year. I would have liked to have seen more old schoolers. I mean, Matthijs, for God's sake, he's been running on fumes for years. Marshmallow should have made it in before him. How does Sterling go from a 1 to an 8? Any idea there?
Maybe the stock in Apple dropped.
Yeah. Time clock did not pull through for him this year. And Emily is a 5.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising.
Sorry, typical goose accomplishment.
Yeah. Also, someone that I thought sort of got snubbed just looking at the past 2 years was Icy Smit. I think probably should have made it in this year.
Absolutely. I'd like to mention Eddie Lovins as a number 2 is surprising, considering how he's never in chat, and he's not the most prolific poster on the boards, but I mean, really all he's got is his GoldenEye powers and the Virginia crowd, and he was nominated to a 2 seed. So what do you guys think? If he was a chatter, he'd be where Ace is, or?
He would have already won the contest.
It is hard to overlook Eddie, though, because he does have a lot going for him. He doesn't really have a great past history within the contest, but you got to look at it. He has, you know, a lot of GoldenEye backing. He has an old school backing. He has been to, I think, every Virginia meet.
Yep. And he's up against Fal this year. What do we think about that?
That's a very interesting matchup because Fal, over the past few years, hasn't had a good seed, but, I mean, he's probably scored the most upsets over anyone else. Let's see what else he does here. He took out Bully before losing to Infill, and he only lost to Infill 25-20, so I mean, to overlook Eddie Lovins is a huge mistake. He's definitely a contest powerhouse.
Yeah, unfortunately for him, he's in somewhat strong company with Third and Elu there, so he's probably sort of a dark horse to take that division.
Yeah, Ilari as the third seed is actually a little surprising, especially after what he did last year, and I think he could easily win this whole division. But then again, you could pretty much say that about almost anyone in this division.
Yeah, gonna be fireworks.
Absolutely.
Tyler as a one seed is also a little surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely deserves it. He's been sort of a behind-the-scenes guy for a solid year now. He's been Endgamer's right-hand man, which certainly helps his case a bit, and he's a very likable guy. He's done a lot for the community just in the past year. I wasn't sure whether or not he'd get that much attention, though, when it comes to the contest. I wasn't expecting him to be a number one seed, and if he was a lower seed, I was expecting him to do really well as a lower seed. But I think as a number one, the expectations are a little bit higher, and it'll be interesting to see how far he can go. I think if he can beat Elu and take that division, he has a very good chance of making it to the final four.
An interesting matchup I'm seeing is the two seed SZ versus Nathan Stinson. Completely different crowds, completely different parts of the world. I mean, if Nathan comes out of the ground a little bit, maybe he'll get some support, and a lot of people don't know who Jim Soderlund really is. Do you think there's an upset in the making there, or am I just crazy? I don't have a lot of faith in SC, but
you shouldn't really underestimate him, because he still has a lot of chat support, and also I think he gets some votes from old school. I mean, he did pretty well, right, last year. I remember him actually winning a couple of rounds before he busted.
Yeah, I think there's a group of voters that are always going to back him, mainly the European chatters, and it's hard to take down someone who has strong support from those two blocks. So he's going to be a force like he is every year, and I actually have him winning that whole division.
I think if I'm not mistaken, I took out SC last year. So when he runs into a chatter slash American, I don't know, 30-14 was final. I don't know. I'm not going to rule Stinson out, but and then again, this might not even be close.
I think he's like really sensitive to same fan base factor, you know? And I think so people like that easily bust him, you know? And I think that the problem with Nate is that he will actually get some good chat support as well. So yeah, it's an interesting matchup.
And the Virginia crowd and the Carters.
As well, yeah.
All right, we've been waiting for this for a while. What do you guys think of QB versus Alec Boy?
Well, if Alec Boy wants to have a chance, then he'd better start writing a bestseller.
And what was that post about on the boards? He accused QB of being a communist.
Yeah, pretty much.
Very entertaining.
It was so adorable. I mean, this kid's really trying.
And then the Chef Boyardee bracket. I hate to toot my own horn, but what do you guys think of Jimbo versus Maddie here?
Well, I think you'll take the match pretty easily. Mathis is always in the contest just because he has that legendary status. But I think this year it's just no possible chance for an upset, and it could be sort of an ugly outcome for Mathis.
The interesting thing with Mathis is that he's been pretty much running on fumes for 4 or 5 years now. Like, he pulled off a couple of upsets last year. That was interesting to see, even though he hasn't really done anything since 2006.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
But I still think that Jimbo is strong enough. He has a lot of support in a lot of areas. he's always in chat. He has the Virginia crowd. He even has Goldeneye now, since he's been PRing lately. The only support I see Matthijs really having is the old school people who know just how legendary he is. And I think that won't be enough for him to upset Jimbo.
No, but it could be a good match if enough old school people show up that day.
Well, he does definitely have the potential to keep it close.
Yeah, exactly.
Matus versus Lockwood. Both GoldenEye players. Both are known in the Virginia crowd now. How about that?
I think that's just going to be a lot of same fan base factor.
Exactly.
I personally am going to have a hard time choosing between the two.
Any doubts on Paragon versus Clemens?
Well, Clemens never really had good results in the summer contest, which I think will change this year because, you know, he became more active as a chatter, you know, his attitude has been like way better, and obviously he got some insane world records again. So
you don't think the video controversy is going to hurt Clemens at all? He gave Alex Anderson a Jungle 52 to claim as his own, which eventually got found out to be fake. And
yeah,
although it wasn't widespread, people do know about it in the community, so might be some anti-voting going on there.
Yeah, sure.
I think there's always going to be a certain crowd that's going to anti-vote him. Probably the first impressions that he made on the Elite in terms of his personality weren't the best, and I think those impressions will probably be lasting, and there will probably be people who are going to vote against him.
Yeah, but will it be enough? You know, that's hard to predict.
And you also have to look at the same factor as when we're talking about Matthijs, Paragon with his legendary status. Is, you know, he's going to get votes regardless of who he's up against.
It seems like Paragon doesn't have the same sort of support that Matthijs does, though.
That's only because the Perfect Dark community isn't quite as large. Well, I shouldn't say that, because it's not nearly as large as the GoldenEye community.
All of his crowd, you know, the Marshmallows, the expert gamers, they're all dead. They're all long gone. These guys don't come back to vote. So, like you guys said, there's not going to be enough support from the old school Perfect Dark to overtake Clemens as there would be to back up Matthijs to overtake Jimbo.
Moving on here, I'm not sure what the format of this year's contest is going to be, but hopefully it will be the same as last year, as in we're starting at the first division and working our way through, not necessarily the matches in order. But that being said, we're going to give a quick preview of what we think is going to be the first five matches of the contest. And starting with tomorrow's matchup, which is a definite, it's going to be the play-in. And we have three people who didn't quite get enough nominations to immediately make the contest. But we start off, we have Zerg, Dale, and Silent Foe. Now we look at Zerg, and he's been around for a few years. He's made lots of posts on the board. He got a few GoldenEye world records. He's an okay player. He has a lot of potential. But at the same time, he's not really well known and well loved by any particular crowd. Then we have Dale, who is known basically as being a chatter. Obviously, she's a Cum's girlfriend. She put up a good showing last year against Luke in the contest, but has never really had any contest success at all.
She has made sort of a mini comeback lately. The past 2 weeks or so, she's been in chat a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And the third guy in the matchup is an actual, I'd say he's a completely unknown factor. Silent Foe, I actually know nothing about him. I know he played some Dark License to Kill, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he beat Streets Dark LTK. And that's pretty much the only thing I can think about him right now.
I mean, I don't see him getting too many votes, but if he had enough nominations to at least make the play-in, I mean, you know, he's must be going to get some.
I think this one is going to be not necessarily hands down, but Dale's going to take this one because she's current. She talks to people who make appearances in chat. She's been around forever. I mean, at what, 5 years now? 4 years? People know who she is regardless of her never touching a video game.
Yeah, and she also made some posts on the boards, right? I mean, yes. people know her from the boards as well, not just only chat.
And the chat vote is a pretty big part of, you know, any matchup.
it'll probably be close between Zerling and Dale. Dale's obviously going to take most of the chat votes, and then I think Zerling's problem here is that he may split some of the GoldenEye votes with this other guy, because some people might know what he accomplished in Dark LTK.
But regardless of the outcome of the play-in's going to immediately go up into a match against Ace, and I don't see Ace losing that match at all. I mean, look
at the GoldenEye and Perfect Dark Prodigy, no. Yeah, he's stone cold lock right there.
Yeah, I mean, the former dual champ, and he's been posting a lot of records lately.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been actually even making appearances in the chat room.
How about Bonzo versus MGA? The 4 versus the 5.
Kind of an interesting matchup. Although, you know, Adam Bozon, I don't see him drawing too many votes. I mean, he's a pretty decent GoldenEye player. He's got a few. You know, he's set a few good world records over the years. But at the same time, I don't see him as a real impact, you know, in any particular area. And while MGA probably isn't going to draw the crowd he used to, he's one of the most popular chatters, I mean, hands down. And besides, he ran the Perfect Dark License to Kill page.
Of course.
Yeah, MGA. And he's got a little bit of Virginia behind him now, making an appearance last year.
Yeah, I think that should really help MGA, because Bozon, obviously, he basically just has the GoldenEye crowd, and that's it. But going to Virginia, MGA got to mingle a little bit with some of those GoldenEye players, and so he may draw some votes there and get enough to move on to the next round, and I think that's what will happen.
It's really a matter right here of, I think the two biggest voting blocks are probably GoldenEye and the Elite Chat Room, and this is kind of what the matchup is right now, although MGA does have a bit of a GoldenEye background, and it's just a matter of, you know, really which block is going to be bigger and who can draw more support outside of those two blocks.
The thing about this match is that Bozon and I are drawing from completely different crowds. He has GoldenEye and most likely the new school know him better. And of course, the European block, which is always a powerful force. And then I have Chat and Virginia, and I'll be representing the North Americans. And I have most likely more popularity with the old school than Adam does. May the person with the most votes win, I guess.
as long as it's not 94-0.
If I recall, MGA, you took me out of the contest in 06, so yeah, you've been a force for a while. Old school all the way.
Not that it's hard to take you out, Jimbo.
Oh! Moving on. This, in my opinion, is the most intriguing match of this division, is Matus versus Lockwood, because both are good GoldenEye players. Both are known in Virginia. Matus is old school. Woody is new school. Matus almost beat Patrick for the entire tournament last year, and Lockwood certainly made an impression. He beat me in multi the first time we played. He beat everybody else at least once, and I don't know, he's got a lot of potential. He's prolific on the boards. He set a couple of world records. This is pure GoldenEye. It's the same fan base factor, because neither of them make a lot of appearances in chat, and both play a ton of GoldenEye. I mean, what do you guys think here?
I think you're right, definitely, with the same fan base factor, because these are two very similar people, and the only real difference is Matus is, you know, he's been around forever. He has the old school behind him, and Lockwood has the new school, although, as it looks like, the new school is going to be stronger. But at the same time, if we look at Lockwood's matchup last year, he got completely destroyed by a wall.
and Matus and Wool are sort of very close together in terms of the blocks that they draw from. So, I mean, they're basically like brothers. So, if he got beat that badly by Wool last year, it could sort of spell doom for him.
But that was before anybody knew who Lockwood really was. I mean, a lot of us, you know, 20-some people got introduced to him last year in real life. Me personally, last year I would have never voted for Lockwood, but this year I would consider it because I know who he is. He's a likable guy. I'm just saying, I wouldn't completely rule him out.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. It should be close.
Closer, definitely.
But I think this.
I don't know. Like,
I think this match could really be decided by the blocks outside of the same fan base factor.
It's whoever gets that Australian vote.
That has made the contest success.
Definitely an influence. But I think another thing to look for in that match is I think Lockwood is going to draw more of the Chad vote. So, I mean, if you look at it, Matus, he does come into Chad. Not so much, though. And Lockwood, he's probably more of a chatter.
Yeah, you don't see Polyamorous make an appearance too much. I do remember seeing Party Boy partying it up in chat, so correct there. Not very much. Like I said, these guys are not top chatters.
But every little bit does count.
True.
And the final matchup in this first bracket, again, we look at Shadow Zero and Nathan Stinson. It's an interesting matchup, definitely, since Nate has a lot of back behind, you know, with the Mario Kart vote, because he seems to like to rally them in to vote on his matches, and also the Virginia vote. While Shadow Zero, he's a big chatter, and while so is Nate, I think Shadow Zero is going to win the Chad vote, and he's got the European vote behind him, but at the same time, he hasn't done much of anything lately. I think he's really declining in popularity. What do you guys think?
I think I'm going to go celebrate that decline in popularity by watching The X-Files.
And outside of the occasional Didmore joke, that's pretty much all you get out of him nowadays in chat.
Don't forget Lemon Party.
I don't even see too much of that anymore.
I was just going to say, the Lemon Party links have definitely gone down in the last year or so.
Well, they're being replaced with other links. To a different image. But I won't say which one it is. But in all seriousness, I think despite Shadow Zero's recent posting behavior, he still has, you know, a sizable group of voters who are just going to keep on voting for him. Shadow Zero should probably win this match.
But if you also take a look, as Jimbo mentioned earlier, Jimbo did knock Shadow Zero out last round by a pretty large margin. And while Nate doesn't exactly compare up to Jimbo, they are, you know, kind of similar outside of, you know, the GoldenEye vote. I mean, Nate's going to get some chat backing, and he's got the Virginia meat behind him, as well as anyone who just doesn't like Shadow Zero.
He's going to get a good chunk of North America, period, because a lot of the Carters, like, what do you guys classify Thingy as? Probably more of a North American / Carter, correct? So guys like him are going to vote for Nate. Guys like Wheat are going to vote for Nate. I think this one's going to be closer than the seeds indicate. Like you guys said, I mean, it's all of Europe is going to vote for SC. I mean, you tell me one Euro that's going to vote for Stinson. But I think vice versa. I mean, how many of us Americans that know Nathan on a personal level? He's a very likable guy. He put together the first three Virginia meets. I have a hard time believing any of us are going to vote for SZ.
Well, in that case, it's easy because North American voters have always been like twice as much as a European voter. So,
but you're forgetting about the Australia vote.
I was just going to say that's a very influential comment.
I think this is definitely going to be a close match, and it might just come down to how many Mario Kart voters show up to that particular day.
And if I recall from last couple of years, Nathan's a campaigner, is he not? He will get people out of their caves to come vote for him.
Yeah, that's definitely true. but I think overall this first bracket is a very exciting one, because I think the only real match that's set in stone is Ace's first matchup, and then after that I think anyone can win any match.
Yeah, absolutely.
So guys, what do you think about the group where I am in? To be honest, I'm really surprised that I got the first seed, and it's not like I want to, how do you say,
toot your own horn, like I say,
yeah, or something like that. You know, it's just
I don't even know who the hell Hose is, really. So I'm sure you got that one in the bag.
Okay, well, okay, but you know, I don't see how Wife or win against Calm or Whiff or
Whiff is always a strong force in the contests, and so is Calm. Although he's kind of up and down sometimes, you know, sometimes he beats people unexpectedly, and other times he just loses matches huge that you'd think he's going to at least keep close.
Didn't he lose to Infill in the semis last year?
Yeah, I think he got
completely
destroyed, though. I don't think it was...
Yeah, but like, Infill destroyed everyone last year.
And Maddox is the guy who got Surface 49 originally, right? He's like, what, 30-some years old? Or he's one of those old fogies, correct?
Yeah, he's put up a few good records, but I don't think he's really done anything notable.
He's in someone's signature as I'm the goddamn daddy of GE, so it's really all I remember him for.
Yeah, I was really surprised that he made the contest, because it doesn't even seem like he's been posting a lot in the Golden Eye booth lately. So it's surprising that he made the cut this year. Hmm.
I don't know, Kara. I think you have a pretty rock solid division, as in you're going to take control of this. I don't really see anyone besides Whiff, personally, coming up and taking you out of that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking as well. Yeah.
Whiff's a likable guy. I mean, I like him, but...
He doesn't get enough support outside of chat anymore.
No, because he's never shown his face anywhere. He was in the 2007 GNC. Other than that, he really hasn't done anything meat-wise, media-wise, anything like that.
Hugo has a strong chat backing as well. So what? He'll definitely... I don't speak English, okay?
It's a kick-ass accent that everybody likes to hear in the podcast. So
I don't even remember what I was saying.
The chat backing you were talking about.
Yes, Hugo also has a strong chat backing. So he'll definitely be able to take at least a couple votes from Whiff there. And of course, he's European, so he has the Euro vote.
He's going to have a lot of North American voters, too, I think. He's a likable guy. Because all you get from Whiff is sleep and then the occasional
smiley face.
Yeah, that's about it.
Colon V.
Rooney!
Anyone who doesn't come in chat has no idea what he's like, but he pretty much communicates using smiley faces and something
else.
So
John can't understand anything he ever does.
Basically. If you look through the divisions, though, I think most of them are kind of set in stone as who's going to come out the winner, but the rest of them are total toss-ups. I mean, like we said, I don't see anyone stopping Hugo in that division.
You really think Super Odin's going to come out of number 7, though? I mean, DK, I don't know, man. You've got a lot of potential to take him.
I'm not sure. I mean, I have myself losing to Wall second round. So
oh, Lord.
Don't ask me about that. Super Odin, Glenn's actually my dark horse this year to make the final four.
It's hard to say dark horse, though, even though he is, since he is a one seed.
I'm not sure anyone's really picking him to go that far, though.
No,
I think he's going to be a Sterling where we nominate him high and then he'll tank the first match. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this in a podcast, but I mean, he's got GoldenEye, he's got chat, two very high boarding blocks, but how long is he hasn't been around as long as DK or Wool or anything like that.
I mean, he's easily going to win his first matchup.
Yeah.
He's probably going to win his second round matchup as well, but it's hard to say outright for the third round matchup.
Seriously, though, David, I still can't believe that you actually ended up against Speedrun Trainer in the first round. I mean, to a couple of chat room guys. I mean, that is very hilarious.
Yeah, that's sort of a bad draw for me because people might assume that I'll just get so many votes and send a bunch of pity votes Speedrun Trainer's way. And
do we still pity vote now, 7 years after the fact? I don't think
so. Well, be careful. If you vote against Speedrun Trainer, he'll block you, burn you, do anything he can to ruin your life.
Get blocked, burn. Yes, Ryan's got that division pretty much locked up. I can agree with that. I still think Shep has been a perennial powerhouse, though, for a while. I don't know.
Yeah, he could definitely come out on top of that division, and you can never discount Octo.
Yeah, Octo's crazy popularity in, what, 2008 when he finished runner-up? I don't know. Ryan's just a big force, though. Yeah, I don't think he's a...
Well,
I don't think he's a lock.
The thing is, people think he's going to be a strong force every single year, at least in terms of bracket predictions. And he, past few years, he's been voted the number one seed. He obviously gets a lot of nominations, but then he seems to fall short when he faces someone really strong. And it looks like he's probably going to have to face someone really strong in Octo in the second round.
And Shep.
And then if he makes it past Octo, someone like Shep or maybe even Red Bull in the third round. So it's going to be extremely difficult for him to make it at that division unless he really does muster up some contest strength this year and doesn't, you know, just ride a wave of nominations and then fall flat.
And again, if we look again at Jimbo's division, I don't see anyone stopping Jimbo down there. I mean, I think his hardest matchup is probably going to be the first round.
Henning? I think Henning could be like a threat to Jimbo, though.
No, lucky for me, I've been PRing and getting world records lately. I mean, I'm up to like an 8 or 9 in the last month or so. So hopefully, maybe I'll get the new school GoldenEye.
Yeah, did you also start taping the world records?
Yeah, I got them all on tape.
Nice.
I kind of like my own matchup in there, too, as in I'm against Simon Sternis, and we're coming from two completely different voting blocks. As in, I'm going to get, you know, the North American chat, and he's going to get European and GoldenEye.
His TAS videos are something else, but I still like you better, DK.
I'm Comet.
I'm speaking bad.
don't worry, I already made that mistake once today. Anyway, I think we're going to have to wrap this one up for today. So once again, thanks to everyone who came, Jimbo, M-Gay, Gara for recording this, as well as DK. And hopefully we're going to have at least weekly shows up online.
So when will be the first match?
The play-in starts tomorrow, which is Tuesday.
So everyone should vote.
Everyone should vote.
Yep.
In every single matchup, no matter what.
All right, so...
It's not hard to click a button. It really isn't.
I'm still waiting on those results from Jimbo versus Starvation.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a battle that will go on for life.
Anyway, from everyone here at the show, thanks for listening. Have yourself a good day.